episode 9 of View from the Stand. On this podcast, we are dedicated to covering the A-League men's and women's competitions, international men's and women's sides, the FFA Cup, and the NPL competitions around the country. And we will also delve into the EPL as well later on in the show. And to join me for the second week, all the way from Brisbane on the line, is my good friend Michael Howe. Good evening, Michael. How are you?
Good evening, Steve. Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic. Had a good week?
I've had a very good week, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Been in a big week of football.
Certainly has.
We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got the Matildas. They're currently in action in India in the AFC Nations Cup, I think it is. And I think it's also the World Cup qualifiers as well, I think, out of this competition.
Yeah, I think you actually are correct on that one.
Yeah. And we've also got a few games in the A-League Women's competition to look at. A lot of them postponed due to COVID issues. I think there's pretty much a full round of the A-League Men's competition, but we'll have a look at all that a little bit later. And also, we're going to reminisce on St. George Stadium, which comes to a close on Saturday afternoon.
Very, very sad. Very sad to see the old girl finally go away.
But looking back to last Friday, Mike, Australia opened their Asian Cup campaign with a match against Indonesia. And as we said last week, we don't know much about the quality of these sides. Australia ran out winners 18-0. What did you take from the match?
I thought the opening few minutes we were trying to please and trying to play too hard, too fast. We made a lot of mistakes. Balls weren't connecting. Passes weren't connecting. The girls seemed quite too quick to get on with it. Overall, I wasn't overly impressed with the game. Lots of goals, but no real major highlights.
No, not really. Indonesia were outclassed, which was a shame. That won't do much for their confidence. It was just like a training game, really, wasn't it?
Certainly was. And I got a feel for the young keeper. I mean, she was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And if memory serves me, I think that's their second or third game.
Right.
As a nation. So they've done it really hard. And
yeah. It's Australia. The goal scorers for Australia were Sam Kerr. She scored in the 9th, the 11th, 26th with a penalty, 36th minute and the 54th minute. And she also missed a penalty as well, which was unusual for her.
Very unusual.
Yeah, Ford scored in the 14th minute, Fowler the 17th. Rasso scored in the 24th and 88th minutes. Carpenter scored in the 34th and 49th. Van Egmond, she scored a penalty in the 39th, also in the 57th, the 58th and the 69th minutes. And Simon scored in the 67th and 71st minutes. And Lewick scored in the 78th minute. Yeah, not much to come out of that. Australia, obviously, top of the group. It's going to be a tough ask for the other teams in the competitions in that particular group. But I guess we won't really get any gauge on the Matildas until this group stage finishes and they get into the knockout stages, where they'll be playing the Japanese and the South Koreans and the like of those nations.
Yeah, teams with a bit more substance.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did catch some highlights of the Thailand-Philippines game.
Okay, how'd that go?
The Philippines, I'd be very wary of.
Right.
Very good side, very powerful, very good passing squad. I believe they won that game 1-0.
Okay.
I was very impressed with what I saw.
So that might be a little bit tougher for the girls.
I think a little bit tougher for the girls, yeah. They won't find it easy.
They do need some tough game, a tougher game than what they had last Friday night, because, to set them up for the harder games that will be coming later on in the tournament.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, sometimes it can be a little, what's the word I'm thinking of? confidence damaging if you play such an easy game so early.
Yeah, get overconfident.
You do, you do. You think you can go into the next game a bit too cocky.
Yeah.
But I think they'll have to be very wary of probably the first 20, 25 minutes of the next game.
Well, very interesting. And they're playing again tonight, so we have to finish up before 9 o'clock my time and 8 o'clock your time so we can watch the match. Is it
most definitely?
I think it's the Philippines tonight, isn't it?
I think you're right, yes.
What's today? Monday the 24th, recording this. Yes, they play the Philippines tonight. So it'd be interesting to see how they go there. And Friday morning, 1 o'clock Australian Eastern Daylight Time, they play Thailand. So last two games coming up this week. Then yes. They're going to the group stages. But overall, yeah, not much to really gauge from that game. Probably what we'd expect, a good win by the Matildas. I was a little bit disappointed with Indonesia. I thought they might have been a little bit bit more sterner opposition than what they were. But it was what it was.
Yeah. They certainly showed glimpses of what they're capable of.
And playing the Philippines and Thailand, they might get a little bit more joy against those sides.
Yes, let's hope so. Especially with the girls' confidence.
I do have some interviews with a couple of the girls. So we'll hear from Claire Wheeler, see what she's got to say, a little bit of a chat with her that they had after the match. And then we've got a couple more. We've got Ellie Carpenter as well to listen to, and Holly McNamara. So I'll play then. Shall we have a listen to them, Mike?
We shall have a listen. Yep. Fantastic.
I'll stick them on.
I mean, I'm struggling to really find words to describe it, but it's an amazing feeling to get the starting debut in an Asian Cup. You know, it's what dreams are really made for, but I'm really happy, and the result was just the icing on the cake.
What was the message, and how were you feeling when you done it?
Yeah, when Tony told me, I was ecstatic, really. There's not really another way to put it, but you know, I knew I had a job to do, and the first game, we really wanted to make a statement and win this tournament, and yeah, that's what we did.
Can you tell us about what the attitude of the team was going in against Indonesia, who is not as highly ranked as some of the other oppositions?
Yeah, look, regardless of ranking, we treat every game the same, and we're going to treat them with the respect they deserve. And we want to win this tournament, there's no doubt about it, there's no ifs or buts, and that's the way we want to treat every game, and that's what we did.
Can you tell us, what did you find pleasing about it?
Yeah, there was many positives through the whole game. Obviously, Sammy breaking the record was an amazing achievement. Holly getting her debut, but also Mary, myself and Nevin both getting our Asian Cup debuts is also an amazing thing to see from the first game.
What's that moment mean to you to be able to start in
the tournament? Yeah, look, to start, it was incredible. You know, it's everything I've dreamed of, everything I've worked towards, and to finally see it come to life was something that was amazing.
Finally, what's on for the players today as they prepare?
Yeah, day post-match plus one, is definitely all about recovery, and that's what we're going to do. So today, definitely just getting some movement through our legs, just recovering best we can with a short turnaround. Next is the Philippines. So we'll definitely be looking towards that game and treating it as if, you know, it's the next game we need to win, pretty much.
Ellie, the day after match day, how did you feel?
Yeah, I pulled up pretty good. Obviously, it's so nice waking up after a win last night, and today is just focus on recovery and get ready for the next match. Yeah, I think recovery is very important, especially in a short tournament like this. Obviously, similar to the Olympics when we had to back up every 2 days. So I think recovery for me especially is very important with ice baths and massage. And yeah, very grateful that we have a great high performance team helping us out. But yeah, for me, I think recovery really helps.
You've had the overnight rest. How do you now reflect?
Yeah, I think reflecting today, obviously, it was a great start for us. We really wanted to hit the ground running and be clinical in the final third, and I thought we definitely did that. And now it's just about building that performance and getting to where we want to be at come the last final games.
You've done a couple of tournaments now. How important is it?
think it's very important to set the tone early. We spoke about this at the beginning of the tournament, and some tournaments we hadn't had the best of starts, but this was one big thing for us that we really wanted to do, and I think we definitely achieved that. And we're very looking forward to the next game and to keep this form and to build off every match and to be even better than we were yesterday. Yeah, it felt really nice to get on the scoreboard. Obviously, to score for your country is a massive honour, and I've been working on, you know, my final third and in my finishing, so I'm very happy that it is paying off, and any way I can contribute to this team to help us winning and to keep us having good performances. Yeah, I think it's very important for us to be ruthless yesterday and to get those final third shots in and to be clinical. And I think it's very important to get that confidence in these early games. So come the semi-final, final, we know we can finish those chances and get that repetition. So, yeah, anything to do that to come prepared for those final matches we want to do. And we knew that coming into these first games that we really wanted to set the tone and to finish our chances as well. Yeah, to see her break records after record, it's amazing, and very honoured to be playing alongside her. And she's a great captain and even better player for our country, and we're honoured to have her in our team. And I think she's the best striker in the world at the moment, and having her break the record is amazing. And it was very nice to share that moment with her on the field. And yeah, she's been amazing for this team and will continue to be. Yeah, I think just building on our game yesterday, we know how we want to play now, and we know we want to take a next step to the next level, next game, and to keep building on that performance. And I think whatever team we play, we come out with the same, you know, motivation and mentality, and we're just very excited to get this tournament, I guess, the second game already. And yeah, we're very, you know, ready for this match.
Holly, congratulations on making your
Yeah, to make my debut, it feels great. It's just such an honour. So grateful for everyone who's supported me and given me the opportunity to do this. So I'm just very grateful and so excited.
Yeah, tell me, what were your thoughts when you were warming up and you knew you were about to come in?
Yeah, so I got told to go for a little jog, and I was just so excited, ecstatic. I think the adrenaline really took over. I just was focused, wanted to come on and make an impact and just have to play with confidence. So that's what I felt at the moment. Yeah, this 2 weeks has been quite crazy. It's been quite a shock and a little bit overwhelming, but I'm just glad to be here and I'm very happy.
What do you think has
led to? Yeah, definitely. The biggest thing would be the support that I've gotten from everyone over the past 2 years. My family and friends have really helped me get through the tough times to get to the good times. So definitely the support I've gotten has helped me become the player I am now. Yeah, the game was crazy. It was just, it's a very different game to play in, and I'm very glad I got to go on. But, yeah, it was crazy. Crazy that I got the opportunity to do that, and, yeah, really happy. Yeah, definitely spoke to my parents straight away, and they were so proud of me. I got a few videos from my siblings of my parents' reaction when I came on, a few screams. But, yeah, they were very proud of me and very happy.
So, was going a little bit off?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it means everything. It's been such a dream for me to make that cap, make that debut, and it's definitely been in the back of my mind for the past few years. Even since I was a kid, it's always been my dream. Playing as a little kid with the boys, always dreamed of being in Matilda, even though sometimes I did think it was a bit out of reach, but I'm just happy. Yeah, definitely. So the team was very, very happy with everyone. Very proud of everyone. Everyone came up to me and said congratulations, which was very nice. But I think the overall thing that we came out of that game was the clean sheet and just the preparation for the next matches.
Yeah, I think we would want to be able to do the corner.
Yeah, definitely. I think the next piece for me would just be getting a bit more game time and keep pushing myself in training to try and prove my worth, I guess, and just being confident in the way I play.
Now there was another milestone in the match, not just for yourself, but also for the captain and shirt. What did it mean to be part of that game?
Yeah. So, first of all, congrats to Sam Kerr. What a feat that is to be the all-time leading goal scorer for Australia. She definitely deserves it. One of the hardest workers I've seen and everything that she's come back from, which is amazing. But yeah, getting my cap from her, especially after this milestone for her, was amazing. The little speech she gave me was very heartfelt and it meant a lot to me.
That was Holly McNamara on her thoughts on the match against Indonesia. And before that, we heard from Ellie Carpenter, and to start us off there, Claire Wheeler. So that was nice to hear from the girls there, Mike.
It was good. They're certainly very bouncy, and they've certainly got their thoughts straight into physio and recovery time and focus on the next game ahead, which is good. So no thoughts to dwell on what happened.
No resting on their laurels.
No, I think it's good. They've turned that page and now let's concentrate on the next one.
Yeah, for sure. Now they play, as we said, they play Philippines tonight in the second match, which will be on 10 bold, I think, tonight. Against the Philippines. I'm just trying to see if I've got any information on tonight's match. I don't seem to have any team news or anything yet from the Matildas. So I'm not sure what the lineup will be this evening, but I'm pretty sure it'll probably pretty much as we were the other night. Holly McNamara, Courtney Vine. Courtney Vine might get a run tonight. She didn't come on the other night. I thought the other night would have been a good match for her to go on and have a bit of a run. But it wasn't to be.
I was watching the telecast and a lot of the girls at halftime said they were disappointed that more players didn't have an appearance.
Yeah.
Considering we were 9-0 up at halftime.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, I think it pretty much wraps up the Matildas. Well done to them. 18-0 versus Indonesia. And Indonesia are ranked pretty low, I think, in the women's game. So we'll see what happens this evening and again Friday morning before they move into the harder knockout stages of the games.
Most certainly.
While we're on the international setup, Mike, the Socceroos, they play in Melbourne. Coming up against, who are they playing?
Is it Vietnam?
Vietnam, that's right. Vietnam on Thursday night in Melbourne. And the squad was announced the other day. A little bit of a mixture there of experience and some new guys. Have you seen the squad there, Mike?
No, I haven't seen the squad since.
Okay, well, we'll go through the squad. We've got Aziz Bayic, who plays his football at the moment in Turkey for Gorenspor, I think that's how you pronounce their name. And he's played 47 times for the country for 2 goals. He's a good player, as is Bayic.
He's a very good player.
Brendan Borello, he plays with SG Dynamo Dresden in Germany. He's played 4 times for the country. He's originally from Modbury Jets in South Australia. And Aziz Bayic was from Meadow Park Soccer Club in Victoria. Martin Boyle, he currently plays his football with Hibernians in Scotland. He's played 12 times for the country for 5 goals. That's not a bad return.
That's a very good return.
He started out with Lewis United FC and Montrose in Scotland. So he hasn't played any football in this country.
We'll take him.
We'll take him.
Yep.
Who else have we got? Milos Jegernak. He's uncontracted at the moment, so he's not playing anywhere. He's played 33 times for the country, for one goal, and he started out with Blacktown City. Mitchell Duke is currently with Fagiano Okayama in Japan. He started out with Liverpool Rangers in New South Wales, and he's played 15 times for the country for 7 goals. Craig Goodwin is the first name there from the A-League. He's with Adelaide United, of course. He's played 5 times. He started out with Muno Para City Soccer Club in South Australia. Good player, Craig Goodwin.
Exceptionally, yeah, great talent.
Yeah, he always comes good against Sydney FC, I know that much. Especially in the FFA Cup final a few years ago. Speaking of Sydney FC, Ryan Grant, he's in the squad. He's played 20 times for the country and has scored 1 goal. He plays, of course, with Sydney FC. He started out in Coonawindra Juniors and Bathurst 75 out there in the west of New South Wales. Ryan Grant's a terrific player. I think he's done really well the last few years.
He certainly has matured quite a lot.
Yeah, surprised he hasn't been picked up by somebody overseas, actually.
Yeah, he certainly has some great quality, unless the world's got a massive glut of that sort of player or that sort of role. Yeah. But no, he's improving every time I see him.
Yep. I think he's happy in Sydney anyway. And we've also got Ajin Hristic. I think it's how you pronounce his name. He plays with Eintracht Frankfurt in Germany. He's played 13 times for the country for 2 goals. And he started out with Hefferton United in down there in Victoria. Jackson Irvine, he plays with FC St. Pauli in Germany. He scored, played 43 times for the country for 6 goals. And he started out with Ringwood City down there in Victoria. James Jago from Aris Thessalonica in Greece. I think it's how you pronounce their name. Thessaloniki, actually. He started out with Green Gully, the old Green Gully Ajax. And he's played 11 times for the country. Fran Kragic, I think it's how you pronounce his name. Brescia, he plays for Brescia in Italy. He's had 6 appearances for Australia for 1 goal. And he started his career with NK Lokomotiv in Croatia. So another young man that hasn't played.
Hasn't played in Australia.
Joel King, another Sydney FC player. He started out with Shell Harbour Junior Football Club in New South Wales. It's his debut for the Socceroos. So good luck to Joel.
Very young player.
Matthew Leckie, he gets a go as well. He plays with Melbourne City. He's a good player there, Mike.
Very good player. I think he was a bit off the last game we saw him play.
Yeah.
But, yeah, very, very good player.
And he's played 67 times for 13 goals. That's not a bad return.
It's not bad at all.
And he started out with Brimback Stallions in down there in Victoria. Jamie McLaren, another Melbourne City player. He's played 19 times for Australia for 6 goals. He started out with Green Gully. Jamie's in pretty good form, Mike.
He's in great form. He's always been one of those quality players. I mean, his time with the Roar was fantastic. He's doing the same job down south.
Yeah, for sure. Ryan McGowan, he plays for QASC in Q8. He's played 21 times for Australia. He comes from Parry Hills Knights down there in South Australia. Riley McGee, he's with Middlesbrough. He's played 7 times for the country. He started out with Gallant Eagles FC in South Australia. Connor Metcalf, he's from Melbourne City, another A-League-based player. Good to see the A-League players getting a go, Mike.
It is very good. We need to start bringing these players up to international level because our big stars won't be around forever.
No, that's true. I think we've suffered with Timmy Cahill and all those guys all sort of retiring at the same time. I don't think we've replaced those calibre of players at the moment.
No, you're quite right. We certainly have not, and we're struggling to find them.
Yeah. Anyway, Connor, he's a South Cardiff Football Club started out there, Mike.
He's got to be a great lad.
Yeah, Gunner.
That's it, yep. South Cardiff Gunners.
And their little ground up there. Aaron Mui, he plays with Shanghai Port FC in China. He's played 47 games for Australia for 6 goals. And he started out with the Carlingford Redbacks in New South Wales. Andrew Redmayne, Redders, Sydney FC goalkeeper. He gets a go in the Socceroos. He's played twice for them. And he started out with Gosford City Dragons up there in the Central Coast. Matthew Ryan, also a great goalkeeper. He plays in Spain these days, Mike, with Real Sociedad.
He did, yeah. I thought he was given a bit of a raw deal out of Brighton.
Yeah.
But that's the cutthroat world of the EPL, I suppose.
Yeah, it certainly is. He's played 67 times for the country, and he comes from Blacktown City. Tommy Rodgick from Celtic, 51 times. He's played for the country for 9 goals. He's from Tuggeranong in United, down there in Canberra. He's done well at Celtic.
Yeah, I think he needed a bit more sterner coaching, and Ange has certainly given him that.
For sure. And he's somebody that he knows as well.
Exactly. He can be comfortable with the coaching role, and obviously Ange knows him and his history, so he's just going from strength to strength.
For sure. Kai Rolls, he's from the Central Coast Mariners. It's his debut for Australia. He comes from Palm Beach, up there in your area there, Mike.
Yep.
Trent Sainsbury, he's with KV Kortrijk in Belgium. He's played 56 times for Australia for 4 goals. And he played for Armidale Soccer Club in Western Australia. Marco Tilio, he's another great young player. Started out with Sydney FC. He's moved on. And he scored for Sydney FC against Central Coast Mariners. I think it was his first touch as he came on as a substitute a few years ago. His debut. He comes from Apia Leichhardt and Sydney Olympic.
Oh, and great breeding ground.
Yeah. Danny Vukovic. He plays in the Netherlands for NEC. Nijmegen. I have trouble with some of these names. Anyway, Danny's played 4 times for Socceroos, and he comes from St. Clair United in the Nepean District Football Association in New South Wales. So that's the squad, Mike. A good mixture of experience and some young guns as well.
Yeah,
making their debuts.
Yeah, it's a nice balance too. And I think although some of the guys are making their debut and they're a lot of A-League players, they're still quite strong. And I think against Vietnam, I think you'll see them rise a little bit. They'll shine tonight.
Yeah, I think so. So they're playing on playing down there on Thursday night, as I said, at the Melbourne Rectangular Stadium, as it's called for these games. And the kickoff will be 8:10 p.m.
Yeah, and I heard they'll be coachless.
Yes. Graham Arnold's come down with the dreaded bug.
The dreaded C word.
The dreaded C word. So he's out of action for that particular match.
Yeah, so I wish him a speedy recovery.
Indeed we do. Remy Muenstein, I think his name is. It's the old Manchester United assistant coach. I think he was there. He's taken over the coaching reins while Arnie's in the hotel. And, of course, doing everything digitally, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, they're in good hands. I mean, certainly got experience there.
Yep. Then they play Oman away in Oman, which will be 3 a.m. our time. When's that? Next Tuesday, 1st of February. So that will be on Network 10 and simulcast on 10 Play. So be able to watch them for free and live if you can stay up that late or get up that early.
Yeah, I think I'm too old for that now.
Hopefully they'll have replays for us old fellas.
I hope so too.
All right, how do you think, what's your prediction for tonight for the Matildas against the Philippines?
Going by what I've seen, I think it'll be very close. I'm going for 3-1 to Australia.
Yeah.
But it won't be a walk in the park.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think maybe 3-1. 3-1 might be a good result. 3-0. Hopefully they can keep a clean sheet. Somewhere around that region as well. What about the Socceroos against Vietnam?
I think they'll do very well against Vietnam. They're not a very powerful nation within the area. So I'd be looking at probably five or six with a clean sheet. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I reckon maybe about 3-1 I'm going for. I think they might sneak a goal just to make it interesting.
It would be interesting, especially if they scored first.
That's right. All right, let's move on to the A-League women's competition. And last Friday night, Adelaide United beat Wellington Phoenix by 1-0 down there at Coopers Stadium. I don't know who scored that goal. We'll see if I can get that up. It's a bit slow, this laptop. It doesn't say. I'll go onto this thing here and see what happens there. Onto this page. Let's have a look. Well, I'm telling you, there was 1,024 people there. Caitlin Williams scored, I think. Oh, no. McMeekin scored, sorry. Caitlin Williams, maybe she was the referee. So that was a 1-0 win there to Adelaide against the hapless Wellington Phoenix down there at Cooper Stadium. Now, on Sunday, Sydney FC played Melbourne City and they won that game by 3-0. So it was a good win there by Sydney FC. They're still doing very good stuff at the moment. Very strong side.
Yeah, I saw a bit of the highlights on that one and Sydney were just all over them.
Yeah.
Melbourne just didn't have a clue.
Right. Yeah, I haven't seen the highlights of that one yet. And finally, on Sunday, Perth Glory beat Western Sydney Wanderers by 1-0 up there in the Central Coast Stadium. So a good win there to Perth. And I've got to say, Perth Glory are doing it tough as Wellington Phoenix at the moment.
Oh, I know the poor things.
They're not allowed back into their state at the moment. The borders are closed, so they're pretty much... stuck over on the eastern states for the time being. So let's have a look, see what's happening in the ladder. Sydney FC are top of the table on 22 points. Melbourne City are second on 15. Melbourne Victory third on 12. Adelaide United fourth on 12 points. Perth Glory fifth on 11 points. Newcastle Jets sixth on 8 points. Brisbane Roar seventh with 7 points. Western Sydney Wanderers are 8th with 6 points. Canberra United 9th on 2 points. And Wellington Phoenix on the bottom of the table with one draw, it says here.
Yep.
So they've got 1 point.
1 point.
And as we said last week, they're only a young squad. Most of the team's around about 18. I think it's the average age. And they've had to relocate from their homes to Wollongong. So... it's a tough call for the young girls.
It certainly is. I don't know how they're doing it, but I've got to take my hat off to them.
That's it. Anyway, good luck. Amazing. In the future. Let me have a look and see if I can see who's playing this weekend. I seem to just getting the men's competition up here at the moment. I'll have a look at that in a minute. But looking at the men's competition, Mike, on Friday night, in fact, got a very crappy internet connection. Wellington Phoenix, they beat Western United 2-1. I saw that game and watched it on TV. I thought Wellington played very well. They were very good value for their win. Western United, of course, up towards the top of the table. So it's a bit of a shock for them to go down to Wellington, who's down the bottom.
Also.
Well done to Wellington. Saturday, Central Coast Mariners and Melbourne Victory was postponed. Perth Glory were due to play Newcastle Jets. That was postponed. Western United were due to play Wellington Phoenix again, apparently. That was postponed. MacArthur FC were due to play Western Sydney Wanderers. That was postponed. Melbourne City were due to play Sydney FC. That was postponed. So what they did was they rearranged this Perth Glory match and Sydney FC's match and pitted them together at Netstrata Stadium, and Sydney FC went down 2-1. Well, I've got to say, Sydney FC are struggling at the moment. They're not playing very well at all. In fact, the first hour, they were very sluggish.
Okay.
Not much creativity that I could see. They did sort of come alive for the last half hour, but by then it was too late. They did get a late penalty, which gave them a little bit of hope, but Perth Glory, I think, were good value for their win there.
No, I didn't see any highlights of that one.
Central Coast Mariners, they, let's have a look. They played on Sunday against Melbourne City. And Central Coast won, Melbourne City 3. And finally, Brisbane Roar, they were at home at Morton Daly Stadium there, Mike, and they went down to Adelaide 3-1. Did you see any of that?
No, I didn't see any of the highlights, but I did read on some of the Twitter feeds that Brisbane were quite disgraceful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of people were just shaking their heads going, what the hell was that?
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, I haven't seen any highlights to make my own judgment.
No. But last Wednesday night, I think it was, they did beat Brisbane Perth Glory by 1-0.
Yes.
Game we both watched at the same time. Brisbane pretty much dominated the game. It was Perth Glory's first game back for a very long time. For about a month, I think, they hadn't played. And it really showed as well, I thought, in their game.
Yeah, certainly did. So, especially towards the latter half of the first and second halves, they were just really tired and sluggish and just couldn't move.
No. And Daniel Sturridge came on towards the end, about the last 20 minutes, wherever it was. Didn't make much of an impact on the game, I didn't think.
No. No, and, didn't even think it was on for a while there.
No, I don't think that... he also came on against on the Saturday game against Sydney. I didn't get to the game because I was doing other stuff this weekend, and I don't think he created much there either. Don't know whether his fitness is up to date yet. It's been really tricky, a really tricky time to come over to Australia. In fact, probably go anywhere. But he's working with Andrew Clark, I believe, former. Okay. Coast and Sydney FC physio to get himself up to speed.
Yeah, it shouldn't take him too long.
No. Looking ahead on Tuesday night, Mike, Melbourne Victory versus Sydney FC. At this stage, the game is still on. I know the ladies' match is off. So, the way things are going at the moment, as much as I hate to say it, I don't think Sydney FC are going to... If they can get a point, that would be a great result for Sydney at the moment.
Yeah, certainly. Can you see how well Melbourne Victory are doing?
Yeah. Different team to last year. Tony Popovich has certainly made a difference with that squad.
Yeah, well, when the season started, they started putting a couple of wins together. I thought, where'd this come from compared to last season? It was a massive turnaround.
For sure. On Wednesday, the 26th Australia Day, MacArthur FC play Perth Glory down there at Campbelltown Stadium with a 5:05 kickoff. I didn't mention the Melbourne Victory Sydney FC kickoff time. That's 7:45. MacArthur FC and Perth. I think maybe MacArthur might just nick that one. In a close one.
That will be a very close one.
And they, I think they're unveiling their new mascot.
Oh.
Yes, they've got a new mascot. They put out a competition, and I think it was about 500 entries from fans and members and football lovers from the southwest out there of Sydney, and they've named the new mascot, which is a ball. They've named him Arthur.
Okay,
Arthur the ball. A young lady, an 8-year-old young lady from Narellan, picked that name, and she won the competition.
Oh, congratulations to her!
Good luck to her. So we'll be seeing Arthur the ball. I suppose he'll probably lead the teams out if they're allowed to do that these days in COVID days. Get Perth Glory on Wednesday. So it's probably worth going down to Campbelltown just to see Arthur the ball, I'd reckon.
Oh, most definitely. That'll be a definite highlight.
I'm not sure whether it's a two-man job, like a front and a back ball. like the old pantomime days, or it's just a one man sort of dressed up as a boar. I'm not sure what he looks like.
We'll wait with bated breath.
I'd love it to be a two man job.
That'd be funny. Both thinking separately.
On Friday, Perth Glory are back in action again. Oh no, that's been postponed. So no. Saturday, Wellington Felix versus Melbourne Victory apparently has been postponed. Western United versus Melbourne City at Amy Park. 7:45 kickoff at this stage is going ahead. Brisbane Roar, they're at home on Saturday, Mike. They're playing Western Sydney Wanderers. 7:45 kickoff at Moreton Daily Stadium, or 7:45 over at
quarter seven way. Brisbane time, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about that one?
I think Brisbane might do okay.
Yeah, Western Sydney are struggling.
They are. So, yeah, I think we'll sneak that one in.
Yeah. 2-1.
I think so.
I think they'll get a couple of goals.
Definitely.
They're trouble scoring goals. It's been their problem this year.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't found that elusive striker that we desperately need.
No. And young Ivanovic, the former Sydney player, I think he's injured.
Yeah, good lad. Lots of talent.
Very disappointed to see him go.
Yeah. No, I thought it was a great coup by Brisbane to get that young man.
For sure. So that's that one. On Sunday, Sydney FC, they're at home. Well, they're at Leichhardt Oval. It's one of their homes at the moment. They're playing Central Coast Mariners. Tricky tie there for Sydney FC. Hopefully they'll get a win, but Central Coast are playing pretty good. They always seem to rise their game against Sydney. I don't know. Hopefully Sydney can get something out of that game.
Yeah, so it's going to be tight. That will be real tight.
One, got my ticket booked for the grandstand, and the seating allocation for the members has already started for the new stadium, so that's good. Fantastic. I'm looking forward to getting my opportunity to pick my seat for where I want to sit at the new Sydney Football Stadium.
Nice. We digress slightly, but when they're looking at that as the opening?
That'll be next season.
Right.
Yeah. Next season, they'll be back at Moore Park.
Fantastic.
And Newcastle Jets, they're at home to Adelaide United on Sunday with a 7:15 kickoff. That's in Sydney time, of course, New South Wales time. So it should be an interesting game. Newcastle struggling at the moment, Mike.
Certainly are, yeah. Just one of those years we just can't put it together.
For sure. But Ted, do you think they'll go against Adelaide?
Oh, I think Adelaide will have the upper shot that one.
I can't see,
even though the game's at home. With a very parochial Newcastle crowd, I think Adelaide will see that one through.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Anyway, let's have a look at the table. Melbourne Victory, top of the table on 14 points. Melbourne City, they're second on 13. MacArthur, they're third with 13 points. And, of course, they've got the 12th man now in Arthur the Bull to help them out there. Western United, they're fourth on 12 points. Adelaide are fifth. On 11 points. Central Coast Mariners, 6th on 9 points. Sydney FC, 7th on 9. Perth Glory, 8th with 7 points. Wellington Phoenix, 9th with 7 points. Western Sydney, 10th on 6. Newcastle Jets are 11th on 5 points. And Brisbane Roar are also on 5 points, but on goal difference at the bottom of the table. Interestingly enough, Newcastle Jets have got a goal difference of +2. As opposed to Brisbane Roar's -6. And every team above them, or there's a couple of teams above them, are all in minus goal deficit. So they're scoring goals. Unfortunately, they're conceding them as well.
Just as many, yeah.
That's the A-League. Anything else you'd like to say about the A-League, Mike?
No, the A-League's doing okay. I just wish more games would be played, unfortunately, with
It's pretty hard to work out who's doing what at the moment because it's so many games. Postponed.
Yeah, and with COVID and Omicron, devastating everything in society, it's a tough call.
It is. Yeah, I think the A-League have done a tremendous job getting through as best they can at the moment. They've been rescheduling fixtures to try and accommodate clubs where they can. And if matches have been postponed, they've substituted with other games from rounds down the track. So they've done a great job in trying to schedule the games.
Yeah, they certainly have. And it's good for the fans too, because you know, we'd love to see our boys play, you know, week in, week out, or sure, just to watch a good game of football.
That's it, yeah. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
Certainly is.
All right, we're going to move on to St. George Stadium, Mike.
Oh, I'll just get some tissues.
Get your tissues out.
Yeah.
St. George Stadium was which is located at Barton Park in the St. George area, right at the end of the runway of the airport. It was opened in 1978, and the first match there was between St. George and South Melbourne in front of 3,853 fans, a match that I attended, actually. So I'm going to go along on Sunday to say goodbye to the old girl.
Nice.
Well, since I went to the first game, I might as well go and see it for the last time.
That's it.
Yeah. The 2,500-seat grandstand was opened the following year in 1979, which boosted the capacity to around 12,000. However, the structure has since been deemed unsafe in 2008 and was closed to the public. While it was primarily home of St. George Soccer Club, it hosted many big matches, which included international and foreign club sides, the Socceroos and Young Socceroos, and was a major stadium for Sydney-based finals matches in the NSL. 11,221 fans packed the ground for the 1984 NSL Grand Final second leg between Sydney Olympic and South Melbourne. St. George, relegated from the NSL in 1991, saw the stadium's role diminish, despite Sydney Olympic continuing at the ground for a further couple of seasons. These days, it primarily hosts junior football matches only. The ground's a simple layout. It's got the now closed grandstand situated on the western side, while the rest of the ground is surrounded by grass hills. And as I said, located just west of Sydney Airport. Transport links were pretty poor to the venue. You had a fair walk from Banksia Station, I think it was, Mike.
I think it was Banksia or Rockdale.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
There were various proposals over the years to restore the stadium to its former glory. One plan was to redevelop it into a 20,000 all-seat stadium, including 12,000 seats undercover. NRL club St. George Illawarra could play their Sydney games at the stadium. However, the club decided instead to upgrade and return to Cogra. There was also preliminary discussions in 2005 with the Football Federation of Australia to revisit the concept of converting St. George Stadium to a boutique 15,000-seat venue for Sydney's A-League club, and as a training venue for the national teams. Unfortunately, none of that came to fruition. And the old girl will be closed down for good on Saturday afternoon. And I think it's going to be... There will be a football venue facility there. I'm not sure whether it's going to be used for matches or just for a training sort of academy-type setup. But we've got... we went and saw lots of games there, Mike.
We certainly did. Lots of Sydney matches were played there.
That's right. We went and saw them a lot of times. I remember going to watch Sutherland play Melita Eagles there in the grand final in the early 80s, I think it might have been. And lots of international games. I remember going to watch Australia play, I think it might have been Chinese Taipei, in a World Cup qualifier there back in the day. I think Australia might have won that about 8-0 or something from memory.
Yeah.
So we certainly, it was pretty much our second home for a lot of the time, wasn't it?
Certainly was. I mean, we knew every square inch of that ground.
We did. Sydney City matches. As I said, the grand finals, went to international games there. You name it, we went there.
It certainly was. Yeah.
Falling into disrepair now, which is a shame. The grandstand's no longer used, as I said. The seats have all been taken out. There's graffiti all around it. The bits falling down. Fencing all around it. So it's a real shame.
Yeah, we're sad to see the old girl go.
It certainly will. Sad day for Australian football.
It certainly is. We had the opportunity to make something of it and nothing ever came.
No, that's right. I always thought they should have redeveloped it and renamed it the Johnny Warren Stadium.
Brilliant idea. Absolutely brilliant. And as you said, a training facility for young Socceroos, the Matildas, the Socceroos.
Yeah, could have done a lot with it.
Yeah, it's the opportunities.
One of the original club-owned football stadiums. And it's coming; those days are coming to an end, which is pretty much an end of an era, really, because St. George Budapest Soccer Club, I don't think exists anymore. I think they're now just known as St. George Football Club. I think they still play in the same colours, red, white and green.
Yep.
So the ground's going. The name's pretty much gone. The old club in Mortdale, that went years ago, has now been replaced by townhouses. So part of an historic football club in Australia, history comes to an end on Saturday.
Yeah, and one of the very strongest clubs too, as you said.
Yeah, for sure. Back in the 60s.
One of the leading lights.
80s, they were one of the biggest clubs in the country.
They certainly were. Very powerful.
Yeah, brought a lot of Socceroos into the...
Yeah, I think David Ratcliffe played, come out of St. George, didn't he?
David Ratcliffe, yeah. He was
Australian fullback. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good players. I remember Des Martin. Remember Des Martin?
Des Martin come out of there, yep.
Yeah, he was. He came over and played with St. George. Of course, Frank Arrock was the coach there on a couple of occasions.
Yep.
Before he went on to coach the Australian team. Rest in peace, Frank.
Most certainly.
Yeah. David Skeen, he was another player I remember from those days.
Hmm.
And I can't remember the goalkeeper's name. I can see his face. Can't remember his name.
Terry Greedy?
Terry Greedy, that's him. He was in a Socceroo as well.
He was. He was between the sticks for many years.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so they had some great players, saw some great games there. As I said, I went to the first match back there in 1978. And no grandstand in those days. I was over on the eastern side. There was a little group of South Melbourne supporters there with their flags. And I think I told you one of our conversations, an old car battery for their air horns.
As you said before, you couldn't put that on the plane anymore.
Lug their lug their car battery up on the plane. Well, over the days.
Yeah.
Anyway. Even though the ground's coming to an end, we've got a lot of memories.
Yes, most certainly have some good memories too.
For sure. Okay, so goodbye to St. George Stadium. And let's see what becomes of that area.
Yes, lots of space.
That's right. We'll let you know. All right. What's been happening in the EPL, Mike? We've had a big week of that.
But interesting week, isn't it? There's certainly still a lot of talk around the traps about the new Everton coach. There's Wayne Rooney's been mentioned, of course.
Yeah. Duncan Ferguson's in charge at the moment.
Duncan's in charge at the moment. Yep.
Yeah.
Also, the ex-Chelsea player, his name's been bandied around as well.
Oh, okay. Frank Lampard.
Frank Lampard, thank you. Yep. He's been thrown into the ring, but I don't think at this stage they're in a hurry to make that decision.
No, Rafa didn't work out. I don't think that was ever going to work out.
Wasn't his style a club?
No. But and the fans were pretty upset. They were demonstrating in front of Bill Kenworth after last week's match.
So they should.
That was against Aston Villa. Steve Gerrard, so that would have hurt even more.
Very much so.
Did you catch Tottenham and Leicester last week?
I did. That was an incredible game.
What a finish to a match that was.
My goodness.
Two goals in the last, the 95th, 96 minutes.
This is why, everybody, you never leave your seat until the final whistle.
That's right. You never know what's going to happen.
Never.
Tremendous finish to the game.
Incredible game. Incredible.
Yeah. So well done the Spurs. They weren't that incredible this morning against Chelsea, but they always struggle against Chelsea. Didn't I watched that match. Yeah, I don't know. I watched the match this morning and Tottenham just weren't in it.
Yeah. I heard
Sorry, Mike. Harry Kane did actually score a goal, but he got chalked off because he pushed someone apparently and they made a big dive.
Oh, okay.
So the VAR looked at it and then said, no, so it's a free kick. So,
yeah.
That would have changed the game.
Speaking of VAR, I watched the Liverpool Crystal Palace game this morning.
Right.
And Liverpool were awarded a penalty late in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't know what game they were watching, but it certainly was not a penalty. I was gobsmacked that they gave it.
Yeah, right.
So I'm thinking.
I haven't looked at the highlights yet. I'll have to have a look a little bit later.
I'm disappointed with VAR.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes up with some funny decisions.
Most certainly do.
Anyway, let's go back to Saturday. Watford, they were at home to Norwich and went down 3-0. So that was a big loss at home.
I can't believe where Norwich have got their playing skill at the moment. It's blown me away.
Haven't they? They've moved up a few places on the ladder. They were really struggling earlier on in the year.
Well, they were touted as going down from, I think, round 5.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, 3-0 victory at Watford. That's a big win.
It's a huge win, yeah.
The Tinker Man.
I believe Ranieri is on the verge of unemployment.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
Mm.
They don't muck around at Watford.
Oh, God, no. I certainly wouldn't take a job there.
No, for sure. As we'd mentioned, Everton went down to Aston Villa by 1-0. On Sunday, it was a big round of matches. Brentford, they went down to Wolves at Brentford by 2-1. It was a good win there for Wolves.
That was a great game, that.
Yeah. Leeds United, they went down to Newcastle United by 1-0. It's all away wins at the moment.
It is.
Well, it was a good win for Newcastle.
That was a great win for Newcastle. I can't have a soft spot for Newcastle. They're one of those clubs that I think we all seem to love and cherish.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Leeds United, they went there, as we just said, they lost 1-0. But the week before that, they had 13 players out, either injured or with COVID or one thing and another. They still played. They played the youngsters and they beat West Ham 3-2. Another club over in England, they had one player, one or two with COVID. A couple wanted to have a holiday. They postponed the game.
Obviously, the sun was shining at the Algarve.
Manchester United, they beat West Ham by 1-0.
Yeah, that was a late winner too.
Yes, it was. Yep. This is a bit of a surprise. Southampton beat Man City. Drew with Man City by 1-1.
That was a great result.
That's after Southampton scored quite early in the game as well.
I think it was about the 7th or 8th minute Southampton scored.
Arsenal did play this week. They played Burnley. They drew 0-0. Good result there by Burnley. As you mentioned, Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 3. Who scored for Liverpool? Salah's still, he's away in Africa, isn't he?
Salah's away, Mo's away, and Naby Keita's away.
Yeah, right. They still got, they still had a couple of good results. They had a good win last week as well.
Well, we've been winning games ever since those three boys have been away.
haven't really lost anything.
No, and it's good because the other lads have decided we've got to step up. And Jota's playing very well. We've strengthened our back line, so it's quite strong at the moment.
Yeah. And Leicester and Brighton and Hove Albion drew 1-1. And as I said, Chelsea 2, Tottenham 0. Tottenham never really in that game, right from the word go.
Yeah, Chelsea surprised me. You know, considering their results of late haven't been brilliant.
Yeah, they haven't played well at all, but they always step up against Tottenham.
They do. They had a draw against Brighton recently, so it wasn't a great result for them.
A lot of draws recently.
Hmm.
So that leaves Man City on top still with 57. Liverpool moved into second on 48. Chelsea are third on 47. Man United are fourth with 38. West Ham fifth on 37. Arsenal sixth on 36. Spurs are seventh on 36 points as well. Wolves eighth on 34. Brighton are ninth on 30. And Leicester City make up the top 10. They're 10th on 26 points. Looking at the bottom, and at the bottom of the table, Burnley on 12 points. Watford 19th on 14, and Newcastle United 18th with 15 points. And above them we have Norwich on 16 points, Everton 19, Leeds 22, Brentford are 14th on 23 points, Crystal Palace 13th for 24, Southampton are 12th on 25 points, and Aston Villa are 11th on 26 points. So that's all what's happened in England over the week, Mike.
Yep.
Big week. See if I can see who's playing next week. Let's have a look. See if we can get the games up. This all says to be confirmed, so I suppose they're just taking it match by match as well. I don't really know what the fixture is for next week. There's just a whole load of games which have just all got to be confirmed. So we'll have to see what happens next week.
That's it, because again, they've had games postponed due to COVID.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah. Well, we're talking English football, Mike. You're a Liverpool fan. Do you remember the first match you went and watched Liverpool play?
Oh, Liverpool played, I think it was Queen's Park Rangers at Anfield.
Anfield.
On the 25th of February, 1984.
Oh, yep. And do you remember the score?
I think we beat them 6-1.
6-1. Oh, that was definitely a great game to go to.
It was one of the, it was quite surreal, obviously, being a Liverpool fan for many, many years to stand on the Kop and watch this team play was quite surreal. It was just a dream.
It's just a magical experience. I went over to England the same time as you, and the first Tottenham match I saw was at White Hart. Well, I had seen them in Australia in 1977, so I had seen them before. The first match I saw at White Hart Lane was against West Bromwich Albion. And just walking into the ground, walking up the stairs, and just seeing that pitch and the inside of the stadium for the first time just makes your hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
Yeah, I think I was at that game with you.
I think you might have, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you might have come along.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's something that every Australian should experience once.
For sure.
It is. It's truly you can't describe it.
Well, I think the first match I may have seen over there was Aldershot versus Chester. I think that was the second day after I got there. Aldershot were in the fourth division at that stage. And I think they won quite well, 5-1 or 5-0 or something from memory. But I think that was the first match I saw in England. Then it was Tottenham, maybe the next weekend at White Hart Lane, from memory.
Yeah.
It was something like that anyway.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yep. Anyway, anything else you got to talk about football, Mike?
No, that's it for this week.
That's it for this week. We've been going for just over an hour. So that's a pretty good show. The Matildas are coming on in a few minutes. So we might adjourn.
Cheers, I think you've been for a great game.
We might adjourn for this week and cover it all again next week.
We will.
Thank you for joining me, Mike.
Thank you, Steve.
Enjoy the Socceroos, the Matildas tonight.
Will do. Go, girls.
Thanks for everybody for listening, and enjoy your football until next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.